coming up on this week's mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast.
The main point is that there are some commonalities, I think, that we can point to for human diet. But beyond that, the key to success actually is personalizing it to meet your needs.
Hi, everyone. Drew Prode here, host of the Broken Brain Podcast. We're back with another mini episode where we take clips from some of our top episodes of all time over the last 2 years and combine them together on a theme delivered to you in a short amount of time on a topic of interest. Today's topic, how to personalize your diet for optimal health. Nutrition experts have long debated whether there's an optimal diet that human beings evolved to eat. Studies show that the modern hunter-gatherer groups across the globe generally have phenomenal heart and metabolic health, yet they eat a variety of diets and tend to avoid the chronic diseases that kill most Americans. In this mini episode, I speak with Anahat O'Connor and Chris Kresser about modern hunter-gatherer societies and why they tend to avoid chronic diseases, why one specific diet is not right for everyone, and how to personalize your diet to fit your lifestyle, genetic blueprint, and specific health conditions. Let's listen in, starting with my interview with my good friend, Anahat O'Connor, a best-selling author and reporter for the New York Times. And I want to jump right in with one of your most popular articles that you went into, which is the title of this podcast, which is there an optimal diet for humans? And in this article that you wrote, you covered an interesting study that I'd love for you to share with our listeners that was featured in the Journal of Obesity Reviews. Tell us about this study and how you came to discover it.
Right. So nutrition is a very divisive topic. It's something that most people are very passionate about. I like to say that discussing nutrition is like discussing religion. You know, there are very strong feelings on different sides. And all you have to do is wade into, you know, social media to see that there are people who are very passionate about their diets, whether it's, being vegan or keto or paleo, Mediterranean diet. There's sort of been these diet wars for a long time. And a group of researchers decided to take a look at, you know, is there an actual optimal diet for the human race? So what they did was they looked at hunter-gatherer societies around the world, and there are hundreds of them. These are people who live sort of the way they have for hundreds, if not thousands of years.
Yeah, they're modern-day hunter-gatherer societies.
Exactly.
Not groups that are like extinct.
Yes, exactly. And these are groups like the Hadza in Tanzania, groups like the Chimani that live in South America, in Bolivia, indigenous groups in Australia. They're sort of spread across the globe, and they figured, you know, we can look at these groups to sort of see, you know, what are the diets that humans sort of naturally choose and live on and are healthiest on. They also looked through the fossil record to see, you know, what are the different foods that humans have been eating for thousands of years. And one of the reasons they did this is because when you look at modern hunter-gatherer societies, they don't have a lot of the diseases that Americans and the Western world does. So, you know, the leading killers of Americans are heart disease, you know, cancer, lung disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, you know, all these obesity-related conditions, all these, you know, chronic non-communicable diseases. But when you look at hunter-gatherer populations, they don't have these diseases. They tend to live to old age pretty free from heart disease, from obesity, from diabetes. These conditions are very scarce. And now that's not to say that, you know, they are in the best health or that they have the easiest lives. They die from other things like
accidents,
infections, pneumonia. You know, when they're out hunting, you know, they have to worry about being attacked by an animal, or, you know,
infant mortality is
off the charts in these groups. But what's interesting is that, you know, they die from things that in the Western world, you know, we know how to prevent or control. You know, we have antibiotics, we have, you know, modern medicine to prevent and treat these infections, the things that kill them. And so there's sort of a mismatch in our sort of world where we are dying from diseases today that we didn't die from 100, 200, you know, thousands of years ago. And you still see that today in modern hunter-gatherer groups. You know, they are pretty free from these chronic diseases that take, you know, a lot of lives in the United States and across the developed world.
So tell us a little bit more about the study and some of the things that they were looking at, especially when it came to the diet. What did these groups have in common? And did they finally discover the one or two foods that we should all be eating and the same diet that we should all be on?
Yeah. So they said, you know, we know that nutrition, diet plays a huge role in health. That's pretty well established. So when you look at all these groups, hundreds of them across the globe, you look at, you know, the fossil record and see what humans have been eating for thousands of years. You know, what is the optimal diet? And it turns out that there is no optimal diet.
Shocker.
Yes, shocker. That was the twist. It turns out that humans can do very well on a wide range of diets. There are hunter-gatherer groups that, you know, live on a diet that's 80% carbs. There are some that live on a diet that's, you know, pretty scarce when it comes to carbs. There are some that eat mostly meat, some that eat mostly plants. But they did find some pretty broad strokes. So they found that pretty much across the board, they eat a mix of meat, fish, and plants. They found that they get a lot of fiber in their diets, you know, many times the amount of fiber that Americans and people in the developed world get. They find that in some cases, they actually do eat sugar as well, but not the kind of sugar that we normally eat. They get their sugar from honey.
Right. Honey was the only source of sugar that they had access to.
Pretty much. And they find that some of these groups actually love honey. It's one of their, you know, coveted food sources among the Chimani, for example, and some other groups. But it's pretty seasonal. You know, during the dry season, the Chimani, the Hadza, who live in Tanzania, which is, you know, one of the oldest hunter-gatherer groups on the planet, they actually are known for having, you know, the oldest human diet, which dates back thousands of years. During the dry season, they will eat a lot of meat. During other seasons, they will get up to 20% of their calories from sugar, or from honey rather. And they do very well. You know, they have, you know, they live pretty free from heart disease, obesity, diabetes. You know, so they manage to do very well on this varied diet. And you sort of see that across the globe, that humans can do very well on a wide range of diets.
When you were reading this study and you were looking at some of the findings, what came up for you personally? You know, I know you have a passion for nutrition yourself. In addition to just writing about it, you're very interested in it. You have a passion for exercise, for working out. You're just generally interested in these topics. When you read it, were you like, okay, I kind of knew this, but this confirmed it? Or was any of the information surprising to you?
I think that it sort of confirms this idea that there's no one single diet that works very well for everyone. And if you sort of, you know, look around, you can sort of see this anecdotally and even in studies. You know, there are some people who do very well on a vegan diet, some people who don't. There's some people who do extremely well on a keto diet, some people who don't. And you see that even in studies that compare low carb diets to low fat diets, you know, to Mediterranean diet. Usually when you look at the conclusions of these weight loss studies, they will say, oh, on average, the people in the low carb group lost, you know, 5 pounds. In the low fat group, they lost 4 pounds. But if you actually dig into the data, a lot of times you'll see that these are just the averages. And there are some people who may have lost 10, 15 pounds on the low carb diet, and some people who gained, you know, 3, 4, 5 pounds on that diet. Some people who lost, you know, 10 pounds on a low fat diet and then, you know, had no impact for others. And then, you know, some who gained weight on that diet. So you sort of see anecdotally and even in studies that there's no one single diet that we should all be eating. We can do well on a range of diets.
We all know there are universal rules to follow when it comes to eating a healthy diet, but personalization should be at the top of the list. You have to figure out what works for you, and what works for you may not work for someone else. Chris Kresser, the CEO of the Kresser Institute for Functional Evolutionary Medicine, the co-director of the California Center for Functional Medicine, the creator of chriskresser.com, and a New York Times best-selling author of the book, The Paleo Cure, shares with us how to personalize our diet based on our individual needs. There are people that are out there that do believe that there's a single diet type of diet that's right for every human being. sometimes they even refer to it as a species specific diet. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that idea?
I think it's demonstrably false, but with a caveat. So I think the phrase species appropriate diet does have some validity to it, because there are certain foods that human beings as a species are very well adapted to overall, right? So for, you know, 2 million years, we've been eating primarily meat and fish, fruits, wild fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, and some starchy plants. Those have comprised the basic human diet in various proportions, depending on where you are and what groups you're looking at, for 2 million years. Okay, so we know that we're pretty well adapted to eating those kinds of foods. We are not well adapted to eating cheese doodles and drinking Big Gulp and all kinds of other processed and refined foods. So I think it is possible to make some general statements about what is appropriate for human beings in general. However, from that general starting place, there is a lot of room for individualization and customization, because although we share a lot in common as human beings, we're also quite different. We have different genes, different gene expression, different health status, different goals. So if you imagine a sedentary office worker, for example, who is 60 pounds overweight and has type 2 diabetes, that person clearly has different nutritional requirements than perhaps an Olympic athlete training for their next competition, who's lean and trying to build muscle and optimize their performance. But unfortunately, that gets lost in the debate or discussion about what the best diet is. And, you know, some people might recommend a ketogenic or a low carb diet for both of those people. I think most Olympic athletes will tell you, if they're training, you know, 8 hours a day, that a ketogenic diet or a low carb diet is simply not going to cut it. It's not going to work. They're not going to be able to even compete at the level that they need to. But there are many more examples. You know, women with hypothyroidism may not do well on a ketogenic or a low carb diet. And I'm sure we can go into more detail later. But the main point is that there are some commonalities, I think, that we can point to for human diet. But beyond that, the key to success actually is personalizing it to meet your needs. In my book, my first book, The Paleo Cure, I argued that a good starting place for most people would be about somewhere between 20 to 25% of the diet as carbohydrate. More than that, perhaps, if you're really a highly active person, like an athlete, maybe about 20% to 25% protein. Again, like the higher range, if you're an athlete and you're working out a lot, lower, 15 to 20% if you're just going for general health. And then the rest is fat. Healthy whole food fats like avocado, coconut, olive oil, olives, tree nuts, etc., and see how you feel. And if that's working for you, great. And if you have certain other goals like weight loss, for example, you might shift more towards the low carb end of that spectrum. So you might drop the carbohydrate intake below 25%, go down to 20 to 15%. You might increase the protein a bit, because protein is the most satiating macronutrient that we eat. It means it helps us feel satisfied, so it's more likely to lead to weight loss. Whereas if you, again, are an athlete and you're training hard, and not even a professional athlete, you know, you're just doing really glycolytic activities like CrossFit or weightlifting or explosive martial arts or anything that's explosive, then eating more like 30 or even 40% of your calories as carbohydrate could be a better fit for that person. Somebody who has Hashimoto's or a thyroid condition, fasting or low carb diet sometimes can reduce the conversion of T4 to T3 because insulin is used and is required for that conversion. And if you're on a really low carb or keto diet, or you're fasting a lot, your insulin will be very low, which is good for blood sugar, but maybe not great for thyroid. So in that case, they might want to add a few more carbohydrates, or if someone's feeling really low energy or fatigued, or they're not sleeping well and they've been doing a low carb diet, sometimes adding some carbohydrate back can be helpful.
While we all have a lot in common as human beings, and there are certainly nutritional guidelines applicable to all of us, we're different in important ways too. We all have different genetics, constitutions, health status, activity levels, lifestyle, and goals, and all these factors determine what an optimal diet is for each and every one of us. Thank you for tuning in to today's mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Please, if you feel excited about these episodes, share them with a friend, leave a review, or check out our featured guest, Anahad O'Connor and Chris Kresser. The links to their social platforms are in the show notes. Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Just a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not, I repeat, it's not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or otherwise qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Provider database. It's important that you have somebody in your corner that's qualified, that's trained, that's a licensed healthcare practitioner helping you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.